Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc., Tuesday, April 30th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Matt Robinson in the house, ready for a massive Tuesday in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Four games, four elimination games, and this could be one of the last, I guess, big card type of nights in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because we're down to just two games a night in the second round with four series. So this could be that last big playoff night as far as a lot of games from the beginning of the evening right to the late night hours. So it's a huge, huge night of playoff hockey. We're looking forward to it. Of course, it's a doubleheader Tuesday. We have our Patreon-exclusive live betcast tonight. We can't wait for it. 7 p.m. Eastern time. And again, this is a Patreon-exclusive betcast tonight. So the only way to join us, watching the stream, on the stream with us during the betcast tonight, is to sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Again, Patreon-exclusive live betcast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, for these four elimination games that we have on tap tonight. Leafs-Bruins, Isles-Canes, Avs-Jets, Preds-Canucks. It's going to be a heck of a Tuesday night. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully the games end up playing out so that we have some drama and some excitement tonight. So we're looking forward to it, and definitely looking forward to this great Tuesday night. So awesome stuff. And again, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month to join us on the betcast here tonight. Let's get into last night's games. There were, of course, just two games on tap. It started with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. And the Florida Panthers take care of business. They wrap it up in five games, taking down the Lightning 6-1. Of course, when you look at that game and the way it unfolded, Tampa Bay, you know, two goals taken away from them because of goalie interference. I know John Cooper wasn't thrilled with the two calls. And look, I think based on the way goalie interference is called, any sort of contact with the goalie, even if it's very minimal, and I think in both cases it was very minimal, they're going to call it. I've seen those goals taken away. So I think based on the way the standard is right now, I'm not at all shocked both goals were taken off the board. But I do understand what John Cooper was saying in his post-game press conference, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. I was going to play it, but it's like 4 minutes long. But the bottom line is, when you see what John Cooper said after the game, it does feel like goalies do get, you know, sometimes the benefit of the doubt with these plays. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you breathe on the goaltender, and it seems like, you know, they're wiping the goal out and they're not allowing it to stand. And so that's the issue. I think based on the way the standard is now, you almost have to say those were no goals. But at the same point in time, the standard probably has to change. I mean, for just minimal light contact, there used to be a time when goalie interference was you really hit the goalie and you did nothing to get out of the way. And you hit the goalie and clearly knocked him down, knocked him over. Now it's just a little graze or a little contact with the skate to the pad. And even if the goalie can still move around in the crease, they're calling the goal back. And I think that is what John Cooper had an issue with last night with those two games. Now, it depends on how you look at it. You know, if you hate the Lightning and you're sick of the Lightning, and I know there's a lot of people with Tampa fever that they're sick of them, you know, they're going to say, oh, he's just crying and, you know, cry me a river and just a bitter, angry man because his team's out. And he feels those two goals were a big point as far as, you know, changing the momentum of the game. But he also did say after he said all that spiel about the goaltending that, look, Florida was the better team in this series. It didn't change the outcome of the series, but he did say it shifted the momentum in that one game. So bottom line is, look, Florida was better for much of the series at 5-on-5. I thought the Tampa Bay power play at just wasn't good enough. And it wasn't good enough in terms of making up for the 5-on-5 deficiency in the series. That Florida was the better team 5-on-5, and the Tampa Bay power play, which has carried them this far, wasn't good enough. And you got to give Florida the penalty killing credit. You know, they had a very good series as far as the power play is concerned. Of course, they give up a shorthanded goal, a key one last night, Tampa, in the loss as well. So, look, great season for the Lightning still. They had a good finish. You know, they got into the first round, figured they were up against it here against Florida, chomping at the bit to show that they're the best team in the state and make amends for losing 2 years ago, getting swept by the Lightning. But there's definitely going to be potential for some change with this Lightning team. And it all starts with Steven Stamkos. What happens with Steven Stamkos, who's played his whole career with the Tampa Bay Lightning? And everybody's asking that after Tampa's elimination last night. Was that the final game for Steven Stamkos as a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning? We're about to find out, because I know there's a lot of suitors lining up to get a guy with cup experience, a guy that still has a lot of gas in the tank, can still play at a high level, had a very good playoff series. I think that's something we have to point out, you guys. He played very well in this series, Steven Stamkos. Almost like a message, a subtle little message being sent to Julian Brisebois and the management team of the Tampa Bay Lightning, saying, this is what you're missing if you guys don't bring me back next year. This is what you could be missing if you don't decide to negotiate something in good faith here in the offseason. But the way I see it, if they really wanted Stamkos badly, something would have been done last offseason, entering the final year of his contract for a guy that's played his whole career in Tampa Bay. So if you ask me right now, if you put me on the spot and say, Ian, is Stamkos back in Tampa next year? I'm going to say no. I think it's probably a good chance he moves on, because the way I see it, if they really wanted to fit him into the cap and keep him here long term, the deal would have been done last offseason instead of waiting here until he's about to become an unrestricted free agent. Alex, thoughts on Florida moving on to the second round?
Well, I mean, it was a great game to watch and a really good night for me. Cashing the 4-1 ticket on Florida, which I kind of added in last minute when I was making my series bets, because I just kind of figured, all right, my position was Florida in six. And I said, if they let Tampa hang around for seven, I would take a shot on that. So I kind of went backtracked, and I'm glad that I did, grabbing essentially plus 425 on a side that closed with 190 almost at 2-1 favorite for Florida. But then you top it off and then add the bargain bin to it as well. Alexander Barkov, who, you know, like I said, he was getting chances, shooting the puck well, but just wasn't finding the back of the net. And he usually steps up in big games, scored two huge goals for Florida, really give them momentum, and then, you know, things just kind of went off the rails for Tampa Bay. So it's a hell of a season for Tampa, right? This is a team that has been battle-tested, has gone through the ringer, and, it, you know, maybe the dynasty isn't officially over. The window hasn't been completely closed. The team maybe could put together one more run. I thought they were going to miss out on the playoffs altogether at the beginning of the year, especially with Vasilevsky getting hurt, having to navigate through Jonas Johansson and Matt Tompkins for a few months at the beginning of the year. So for this team to even be in a playoff spot and in a true playoff battle, it's a true testament to just how good the core of this group is, how good of a coach John Cooper is. And as far as Stamkos goes, yeah, I think that's the last game we've seen him play in Tampa Bay after 16 seasons. And keep in mind, I get it on both sides where, you know, Brisebois knows this guy's been through a lot of injury issues over his career. You know, he's 34, but his body is a little bit older than that. He's got more miles on him than that, especially when you add in all the playoff series over the years. So it's a tough thing. And you know, I'm sure they would want Stamkos, if they were to keep him around, to take a home friendly kind of contract because of how tight they are with the cap. And maybe that's something that they already kind of know he's not going to do. So if he moves on, he moves on. He's had a wonderful legacy there. That his number will certainly be retired by Tampa Bay at some point. He's one of their legendary players as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, he's a veteran guy. He can move on somewhere else. I'd love to see him on the west side of Chicago. I think he'd be a great fit and a perfect piece to have alongside Connor Bedard. But obviously those are things questions we'll have answered somewhere around July.
Yeah, absolutely. That is 100% true. And I think when you look at it, Steven Stamkos has had, you know, injuries. He's an older player now, well into his 30s. A lot of tread on the tires, as I like to say. And I think that factors into the decision-making for the management group, that as much as they'd love him to be a Bolt for life with Tampa Bay for his whole career, you still got to make business decisions and sometimes tough ones. And it looks like Tampa Bay's in the process of doing that. Maddie, what did you think? Florida, moving on.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it was a pretty lopsided game on the scoreboard, but a couple late goals were obviously a factor in that.
How about for the full game over? I forgot to mention this. How about for the full game over? And I was on that over six. John Cooper pulling the goalie at 5-1. You would think by that point, you know what? It's over. You know, we're not coming back. Season done. Yeah. And here he is pulling Andrei Vasilevskiy down 5-1, allowing me to get that 6-1 empty net goal for Florida, cashing the over. Thank you, Coop. Thank you very fucking much. I appreciate it. Love it. That's also why, and by the way, during the game last night, over 5.5 with 6.5 minutes left in the third, I hit that. And I put a little more on it than normal, plus 250, because I know Cooper very well this year, where he's pulled the goalie down by two. He's pulled the goalie down by three during the regular season. All year, he would do it. And I knew that even when it got to 4-1, which it did for Florida, he's still going to pull Andrei Vasilevskiy and get the extra attacker on the ice, especially in a spot like last night where you're facing elimination. Your season's over if you lose. And sure enough, it got to 5-1. And then for the full game over, I said, well, I'll take the push. But then he's pulling the goalie at 5-1 too. And then next thing you know, it's 6-1. So absolutely crazy ending for those of you that had the over. And I'll tell you what, this over 2.5 betting spot that I found last night, plus 250, when it was 3-1, Florida, 6 minutes left. You better damn well believe that tonight we're going to be circling like vultures. We're going to be, you know, like, what do they say? Mice on shit, whatever, flies on shit, whatever you call it.
I'll be on it like white on rice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at like vultures circling, looking to pounce on these live overs. It maybe not even betting them pre-third period tonight of some of these elimination games, but these spots where it's like maybe a quiet third, we don't see much action. The team that's facing elimination is trailing in the third, which is the best case scenario. And then all of a sudden you pounce on that live over at a great price just before the chaos erupts in the final 5-6 minutes with the net empty. And boy, we could find ourselves in some tremendous betting situations with these elimination games in the third period tonight. But anyway, Matt, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, obviously a little more lopsided given the fact of those last two empty nets, the late goal, even by Rodriguez with, I think, like 5.5, 6 minutes left. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's weird for me to say this because, you know, given the 2020 Stanley Cup and the bubble, I kind of feel bad for Tampa a little bit. I do think Florida was the better team. I think in the long run, Florida was going to get through Tampa. But I do think this series could have been closer. It could have been extended. There was some iffy calls at multiple points. And to touch on the goalie interference, I couldn't agree with Coop more. I mean, there's got to be some accidental contact every now and then that doesn't really affect the goal. And so I think they've gotten kind of soft with those callbacks. So would like to see that change a little bit. I mean, the fact that he mentioned, you know, you can't even really battle in front of the net anymore. It's the playoffs. Like, guys are getting beat up in front of the net. You know, you get in those dirty areas, sometimes you get big goals. So I thought that was a little iffy. You know, maybe we would have a game six going back to Florida, or no, sorry, going back to Tampa. And then, yeah, you never know. So I do feel a little bit bad for Tampa. I do think, you know, their core group is getting older. You know, maybe things blow up and, you know, they're not great for a couple years. We'll see. I think if you've got Cooper behind the bench and Vasilevskiy in net, you know, you're never going to be not a good team, and they'll build around it. So it's an attractive place to play. You know, you've got no income tax. You're on the bay there in Tampa Bay, warm weather. So I could see them picking up some free agents in the offseason. There's going to be some guys available this year just with teams making cap moves, like Vegas, for example. Somebody in Vegas is not going to be in Vegas at the end of the – or in the offseason. And you'd like to think it's probably a top six forward. So maybe Stamkos leaves and then they get somebody else to come in. So I don't think they'll be bad or anything. It's not a rebuild by any stretch. Yeah. But would have liked to see that series go a little deeper. I would have loved to see a battle Florida game seven. But Florida is moving on. I had them in my bracket. So I'm happy about that. And yeah, I was also on that pregame over. And I was kind of getting ready, eating dinner before, you know, the second game of the night. So I was happy to see a couple empty net goals to just cash that. It was a nice cherry on top. So yeah, overall a good game, even though it was 6-1, I thought it was pretty exciting through the first half of the game. So I just kind of fizzled out there late in the third, but you know, it happens in those elimination games sometimes.
No doubt. Absolutely. Well said about the Lightning and the Panthers. And again, this Florida Panthers team, look, I know Tampa's got their flaws, but they were very impressive still in the series. Bobrovsky, no issues with him. He had another strong series. Looks like the Bobrovsky of last year again. I'm telling you what, I mean, they're gearing up to make another run toward the Stanley Cup final, and they're not going to be an easy out for the Bruins or the Leafs. We think it's going to be the Bruins, but that's still to be determined. The second game of the night, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. And of course, the Dallas Stars made our very own Matt Robinson very happy last night, tying up the series at two games apiece with a big 4-2 victory last night over the Vegas Golden Knights. The road team has been victorious every game in this series. Vegas takes two in Dallas. Dallas returns the favor and takes two in Vegas. And when you look at this series and you really look back from the very beginning of it, first period of game one, if you were to do a count of which team has been the better team in every period of this series, I think you can make the case the Dallas Stars have won more periods in this series than the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, that's the way I see it right now. I think Dallas was better for the majority of game one. Puck wasn't going in, though. Couldn't bury any chances. And Vegas was opportunistic on the lesser amount of chances they had. Game two was the legit game where I thought Vegas was better, to be honest. I think that's the one game where you can say, you know what, Dallas, you took a step back from the way you played in game one. You deserved a better fate in game one. But in game two, I thought Vegas upped the ante. Dallas was not as good. Obviously, it goes without saying, you're not splitting the atom figuring out Dallas was the better team in game three. I mean, they completely dominated, you know, the first two periods and overtime. You could make a case Vegas was better in the third. I will say they had a slight edge probably in the third of that game three. But other than that, it was all Dallas. And the only reason it was close, and the only reason really it wasn't 5 or 6-0 in the second period was because of Logan Thompson. He was Logan Brodeur, you know, for one night in that game. And then, of course, last night, Vegas was better in the first period. And for Dallas to get out of that period tied, I think was a big thing for them as far as getting their feet under them, getting some confidence going. No question. And then as the game went on, I thought Dallas got stronger. Now in the third, there was kind of a little bit of a, we're hanging on a little bit because Vegas made a big push, as you would expect, down 3-2 in the third period of that game. But Dallas held the fort, and Wyatt Johnston, again, when that game was starting to tilt toward Vegas 2-1, they had a big power play opportunity, Dallas, who else but Wyatt Johnston, another huge goal from Wyatt Johnston in the playoffs, tying the game. And then, of course, a 3-2 goal where it bounces in off Ty Dellandrea, who's in the lineup because of injuries to the likes of Radek Foxa and Mason Marchment. He ends up contributing a depth forward goal for the Dallas Stars. And in the third period, it was just a full team commitment defensively. You know, it was blocking shots. It was boxing out. It was clearing the traffic in front of the net, clearing the loose change away. And then when the puck did get to Jake Oettinger, he was there to make a few big saves there in the third period. And you're seeing Matt Duchene blocking shots. And how about Roope Hintz? And Roope Hintz has not had a great playoffs. He struggled. And he struggled even down the stretch of the regular season. But blocking shots, huge block with the extra attacker for Vegas. And then he pots the empty netter to seal the victory for the Dallas Stars. You love to see it for someone that's been struggling a little bit. And as Matt alluded to in our chat last night, maybe that gets him going a little bit. Roope Hintz, a finish to the game like that. So Dallas back in the series, and finally we are going to have a best of three to look forward to here in the first round. The first series to, and the only series to be 2-2 after the first four games and down to a best of three. And it's been a great series. So it's fitting that it's this series that's going to take us to our first best of three down the stretch. Matt, we'll start with you on this one. Obviously, happy Stars fan, and right back in the series.
Yeah, it was obviously an exciting game to watch. You know, I'm glad Dallas held on there in the third. But it was a lot of relentless play. One thing that's been mentioned a lot in the series is the physicality, the hitting. You know, Vegas isn't slowing down on that front. But what's interesting to me is that game two game, Dallas kind of got away from their style of play and tried to play like Vegas. And it obviously, you know, was probably their least dumb, like least good game as far as the series has gone. And the other thing that Callahan mentioned on the cast or on the broadcast was, hey, sometimes a team out hitting a team 45-20 means the team that's got the less hits has the puck more of the game. You know, you're not hitting guys when you've got the puck. So I think they've got to keep playing that relentless style. You know, I was super impressed, obviously, Wyatt Johnston's been a stud through the whole playoffs, really the whole season. But that fourth line, man, like majority of their shifts, excluding, you know, the third period when they're really kind of just trying to park the bus and protect the net, they were in the offensive zone more than they were in the D zone. And I think one point that I really started to feel confident, hey, I think they're going to win this game and take it back to Dallas tied, is after that Ty DeLandria goal, they zoomed in on Petrangelo and Eichel. Eichel has been the best player for Vegas by a mile. He's looked great in all four games. Petrangelo has been up and down. That was an undisciplined penalty in the second that ended up being the power play for Wyatt Johnston's goal. They both, hands on their knees, out of breath, look defeated. And it's like, and I, you know, that made it 3-2, obviously, in the second period, though. That, to me, is just like a holy shit. Like, we were not expecting to have to deal with this kind of relentless play. I'm sure, you know, going back to Vegas up 2-0, you know, maybe they do a gentleman sweep, they split and then win in Dallas. But, you know, Dallas has really come out and been the better team in both of those games. And, you know, it was good to see guys like Hintz, guys like Duchesne blocking shots, not just the Craig Smiths, the Sam Steeles of the world. You've got,
by the way, Craig Smith, if he didn't have cement hands, he would have put that game away earlier with that amazing chance to the backhand, missed the fucking wide open net with it. Yeah.
he had him beat, but no, I think, you know, I think Dallas has to feel good going back. And my little brother, Ryan, who's always, you know, on the BetCast with us, he actually called into the Dallas sports radio last night, the ticket, and kind of asked, you know, obviously there was five straight games that Vegas had beat Dallas this year. If you go back to last year's playoffs, six in a row, they had their number. Did those two games give Dallas a little more confidence? Like, hey, we're right there with this team. You know, we outplayed this team five of the six periods in Vegas, apparently a tough arena for teams to come into and play. You know, you got to think it does. It gives them a little confidence. And then, you know, I'll wrap up with what we talked about last night with Leah Hextall asking Duchesne if he expects the same intensity in game five. Like, he's going to go, nah, we'll probably take a step back and play a little more lackadaisical in game five. Like, what a dumb question. But yeah, no, I'm just excited. I know my buddies that aren't Stars fans, aren't Vegas fans, are just excited that the playoffs are going to have a series that goes, you know, at least to six games, maybe seven. Because again, we could have six teams locked up after tonight. And then, you know, if Dallas Vegas goes seven, we've got games until next Sunday. So excited that they were able to even it up. I'm feeling good about things moving forward. And, you know, as long as they keep playing that relentless style, and Jake Ottinger, I think, has gotten better every game. Last night was the best game of his series. You know, that's got to build into his confidence. Yeah. Why not win game five, go back to Vegas, and then have a chance to close the series? So, yeah, definitely was a good game. I didn't have a lot of bets on it. I mentioned in the chat, I actually did have a small bet on Vegas money line. It's kind of a superstitious thing at this point. After going down 2-0, I bet on Vegas game three and game four. and you bet your bottom dollar, I'll have a little chunk of change.
Win-win for Matty Robinson. Wednesday night. Either I make money on Vegas or my team wins. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pay some money for to see Dallas advance. So, yeah, love to see it.
Absolutely. Wow. Good stuff. And I just want to mention, look, I've tried to lay off poor Leah Hextall. She takes a pounding from people on hockey social media. I get it. But it was not one of her better nights with the cages comment.
The tandem comment.
Shane question, she phrased it as a yes-no question. Do you expect to try to bring that same intensity in the next game? What's he going to say? No, we're not going to try to bring that same intensity. No, you know what? We've done enough in this series. We're satisfied down 2-2. We've made it a series. If we don't bring the same intensity and lose the next game, we're happy. We're content with that. I mean,
yeah. And if the chat missed the game, just in case you guys didn't know, Tanev does not wear a cage while he warms up. You know, apparently a lot of NHL players wear cages does. During warm-up.
Yeah.
That was
crazy shit there. Poor Leah. But yeah, Alex, what did you think there? Vegas, Dallas last night.
No, I mean, a huge win and a huge momentum shift for Dallas. And you know, I was hesitant because I'm like, you know, it's just hard to believe any team going into T-Mobile Arena winning two games in a playoff series when they're down. It just you know, didn't seem to be something. A split would have been salvageable and fair, but it's just, like I said, big for them to step up. And the key is Jake Oettinger. Like I said, getting better every period he moves on. And that's exactly what we saw from him in that Calgary series. That's what kind of made us all believers that he could be a top-tier goalie in this league. And so for him to be doing that on top of the offense, you know, finally generating some chances, getting those deflections. And that's the thing. Dallas, for all the skill that they have, they were a clean team during the season. Clean passing. Always looked crisp on the power play, you know, highlight reel stuff night in and night out. That's not what you get and what you need in the playoffs. You need those gritty goals. So for them to get those tip-ins and those redirects, traffic in front, we talk about it being adaptable this time of year. That's the big key offensively for Dallas. So if you got those two things rocking and rolling right now, like I said, Logan Thompson's just been a bit shaky, hasn't been, you know, playing at his best level. And the, you know, the fatigue factor for Vegas, you know, they've said it themselves, and that might be showing now at this point where this team over the last calendar year has played so much big time hockey, they might be running out of gas. So I said, you know, Stars have to come out hot and heavy in game five at home, bring the same energy that they had from the last two nights when they played in Vegas, and they should be well on their way, and hopefully we'd love to see them wrap this series up in 6 or 7 games.
It's going to come down to who the hell can finally fucking protect home ice. Who can do it?
That's right.
So who's going to step up and win a damn home game in this series? I think if Dallas wins game five, they win the series. But if Vegas wins game, and obviously if Vegas then wins game five and they're the first to win a home game in game six, obviously then the series is over. Vegas wins. So it is really, I think, going to come down to who's going to be the first to win a home game. And whoever does probably win in the series.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, you know, we'll talk more about it as, you know, we lead into the game. But if you think, like I said, the winner of game five wins the series and take serious prices rather than looking at game price, especially for Vegas being the dog, you know, take them now to win the series. If you like them to win game five, if you like Dallas, you might have to go a different option because you're laying 170, 190, but that's the way to look at these things. Now we're talking about a best of three series. Don't always have to pinpoint on the games. Just kind of look more of the series overview. Yeah. Look at series going 6 or 7 games. Like those prices now are more attractive to me at this moment than looking at anything side or totaled in specifically game five.
And we'll talk about that same concept with all the teams that are trailing 3-1. You don't necessarily want to look at them in the individual game tonight. You may want to look at, you know, a series handicap. You may want to look at the series price overall to come back, because all of a sudden with some of these teams, you get to 3-2 and you put a little pressure on the other team now, you know, going into a game six situation. So that's why the betting the series adjusted series prices during the series is often a more fruitful endeavor than just the individual game. There's no question. So great win there for Dallas last night. And by the way, best bet winner with first period both teams to score for me last night, plus 186. Great price on that. So nice to cash that best bet with Dallas and Vegas, both teams to score in the opening period of that game last night. All right, let's get to Tuesday night. Four big games. This is such a great night to have this Patreon exclusive Stanley Cup playoff live betcast with all these games on tap. They're all elimination games. And the first game on tap, 7 p.m. Eastern, TD Garden, Game 5, Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, Boston minus 150, home favorites, 5.5 the total. Bruins looking to finish off the Leafs here tonight in Game 5. And look, if you're what you saw from Toronto in Game 4 with that feeble effort, that lame-ass, pathetic excuse of an effort in Game 4 at home, especially in the first two periods, I mean, who the hell would have a lot of confidence right now in the Toronto Maple Leafs? Not to mention, you know, everything that they've had going on personnel-wise in this series. William Nylander, of course, with his migraines, and he only got back in the lineup for the first time in Game 4. That being said, he should be a little bit better, a little swifter tonight in this game, a little bit, you know, get that game under his belt. He should be better tonight, William Nylander, obviously, than he was in Game 4, now having a game under his belt. But now, just when you get William Nylander back, all of a sudden we're dealing with the Austin Matthews issues now, with his illness or whatever it is going on with him, which we, the rumblings are, there's tons of rumblings going on, and a lot of them are, it's not the common flu or cold or nausea or anything like that. It's food poisoning. It's something a little more severe, something like that. That's the rumbling going on. The bottom line is, you know, I think they felt he didn't look right in Game 4. If you watched him, that was not the Austin Matthews we've seen earlier in this series, especially that brilliant Game 2 in the one game that the Leafs have been victorious in this series. And so they decided, you know what, we're down 3-0 at the time to the Bruins early in that third, and I think that they all made that decision. You know what, Matthews can depart for the rest of the game. He's not right. He's clearly feeling like a bag of shit in that game the other night. And we'll try to get him ready for Game 5 tonight. Hope he's back. He's a game-time decision is the official word for Austin Matthews tonight for Game 5. We'll see if he plays. If he doesn't, obviously, it makes a tough challenge to extend the series even more difficult for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I like what Sheldon Keefe is doing with the goaltending decision. And this is not an indictment on Ilya Samsonov's play in this series. He hasn't been bad, but he has been outplayed by Jeremy Swayman. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been terrible. He's been decent. He's been solid. But he's been the second best goalie in this series behind Jeremy Swayman. And, of course, the one game he did win was when Linus Allmark was in net. But he's been the second best goalie behind Jeremy Swayman in this series. Swayman's just been better. And you've needed that timely, critical save. Swayman's given that save to Boston time and time again. And there's been instances when Ilya Samsonov's not delivered that timely critical save to give his team a chance. Like in Game 4, for instance. That Frederick goal, he's got to stop that, I think. I mean, that's a stoppable puck. He wasn't able to. And it was kind of a backbreaker there for the Leafs in that game. So it's Joseph Woll. What a spot for him to be in. His first official, well, he got into the game in Game 4. He replaced Ilya Samsonov in the third period. But this will be his first start of the Stanley Cup playoffs here tonight. What a spot to put this kid who might still very well be the future of the in net for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Joseph Woll. He's got that upside to him. But what a spot to put him in. You know, a must-win game on the road in Boston, facing elimination, and here's Joseph Woll getting his first start of the playoffs. So you talk about we're going to see what this kid's made of. We're going to see what Joseph Woll is made of here tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs in a spot like this. This is just a game I want nothing to do with the side. I will tell you that right now. Nothing to do with the side, because it would be such a typical Toronto move to reel the fans back in, shock the world when everyone's writing them off going into Game 5 tonight. And they do play better on the road. Their one win in this series came in Boston. So I wouldn't put it past them, you know, to rise up, Woll to have the game of his life and steal one here in Boston. And we go back to Toronto for Game 6, but I'm not putting money on that happening. Not a chance going into this game. And plus two, if you like Boston, here's the issue. You're now laying minus 150. You know, this isn't just some small adjustment that they've made from what Boston was in Game 1 and in Game 2 of this series. You look back, Boston was minus, you know, 130 to minus 140. You know, in games 1 and 2 at home against the Leafs. Now they're laying, you know, minus 150. I'm even seeing minus 155. So there's been an adjustment, you know, to just how Toronto looked in Game 4, and Boston's now got this commanding 3-1 series lead. So for me, this has nothing to do with the side. I think if you like these favorites to close out the series tonight, in these games, don't, what you should do, in my, at least my suggestion, my advice, you can either put some of your bet on the money line and some of your bet on the puck line, or even I'd go a step further, put more of your bet on the puck line, less on the money line, or even put all of it on the puck line, like with a Boston or a Carolina, which we'll get to in just, or Vancouver, you know, because we've got the potential for those shenanigans and for the margin, you know, a victory to be there at the end. Because if Toronto's trailing late in the third, or the Islanders are trailing late in the third, or any of these teams down 3-1, the net's going to be empty, possibly earlier than normal, and you're going to get tons of opportunity for, just like Florida last night, who turned, what, a 4-1 lead into 6-1 with two empty net goals. You're going to have that opportunity to pad a margin if you're these teams looking to finish off their opponent tonight. So that's why, if you're going to be on Boston, Carolina, any of these teams that are looking to finish the series tonight, look puck line. This is one spot to do it, especially in these elimination games, you know, and get your better value, no question. So, but I'm going to look in game. This is a perfect live betting game. It's beautiful to have a bet for a game like this, because if Boston's leading in the third, we're absolutely circling like a vulture on a third period over live, and may not even bet it pregame. Because if you bet it pregame, and I'm sure Alex will speak to this, you're taking over two and you're still laying a price. You're not even getting, you know, a phenomenal price. Whereas you can watch the game unfold and be, and even it's a game like Tampa, Florida last night, Alex, it was 2-1 going into the third. So, and look, they got that early 3-1 goal, Florida, but then it quieted down again. You just could have waited and waited, as I did. Wait for the 5.5 to come back around after those several minutes when it was 3-1. And like I said, I grabbed an over 5.5 plus 250, 3-1 Florida with 6.5 minutes left. Next thing you know, 7 goals. It ended 6-1. Those are the kind of spots I'm looking for tonight. Like, I'm looking for something like that here, where I lean full game over 5.5. And I very rarely am going to recommend an under in an elimination game for the full game. I lean full game over 5.5, but I'm not going to put too much on it pregame. Let's let the third period play out. Let's see what happens. Let's see what the score is at the time and make decisions live during the BetCast based on that. I think that's your approach here in games like this, especially these elimination games. Alex, what do you think here? Game 5, Leafs Bruins.
Yeah, it's a, you know, obviously a big back against the wall spot for Toronto, and pun intended, with Joseph Woll being the goalie tonight. And, you know, like you said, I think it's a great move by Keith as well. It's not that Samsonov's played poorly. It's that you have to shake the room up.
And spark him.
Yeah. And spark him. But at the same time, I think the room is shaken in a negative way now. Like you said, with Nylander back and now possibly losing Matthews, you know, all the rift and raft of course, with the Marner issues and the guys on the bench. I think they're rattled to the point where they may not be able to come back out of this. Like I said, even if they win this game tonight, I think series-wise, they're pretty much out of this. Obviously, with the plays we have, I would love for Toronto to win this and take this thing into 6 or 7. That's the wheelhouse in which I could cash the money with the series. But it's going to be tough to really back them. And like I said, this is a great live betting spot. I will be on the first period over 1.5. I laid $1.10 earlier. But that number's starting to move now, too, with the confirmation of Woll. So, obviously, being on the BetCast tonight, we'll look to add a little bit more onto that. Obviously, we'll be looking for third period overs live as well. But I have nothing here side or total pregame. And like I said, if you like Boston, this is a game where you take a shot with regulation and the puck line. If this game were to go to overtime, I think that's where Toronto would be live and find a way to win it. And so that's something that I would be keeping an eye on, too. I don't have the draw in pocket in this one tonight, but I think Boston has to win this thing at 60. If they don't take care of business in 60, I think that's where they give the opening, and that's where Toronto finds a way. Somebody, some bottom line guy, ends up getting a goal quickly for the Leafs, and then this thing goes into 6 games. So if you like Boston, regulation, puck line, those are your friends for this evening. If you like Toronto, obviously just take them on the money line. But I think it's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm glad we got the BetCast for tonight.
This is one of those games where I could see it tight, close, overtime. To decide it, I could see, obviously, 6-1 Boston, that maybe Toronto is just, you know, lacking confidence and they just kind of feel it like, here we go again. But I also wouldn't be shocked if it's something like a 3-1, 4-1, 4-2 Toronto win, even, because Woll stands on his head. They all hear the noise about, oh, how shit they were the other night. Here we go again. This core is going to get bounced early in the playoffs. And they rise up, and instead of crumbling in the face of adversity, they smile in the face of adversity, as Mike Tomlin would say, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what the Leafs have to do. They got to go Mike Tomlin style tonight. Smile in the face of adversity. And let's see if they've got that capability of doing that here tonight in this game. I do like some props. I'll mention those in a minute. Like I said, I'm just the only thing I've got pregame is a very tiny full game over 5.5. That's it. And then we're going to definitely pile on more live overs in that third period. Again, hoping that it's Boston leading in the third period for those live overs. We still would probably look in that direction if Toronto's leading in the third, but it's even a stronger position, the live third period over, if the team that's looking to eliminate the opponent is the team leading in the third period. So that's definitely what we're looking for here tonight. Matt, what are you doing here with this one, Toronto-Boston?
Yeah, so I do like the over by Fekta here, but I think I'm going to wait and do it live. I might sprinkle a little on over 5.5, just on the off chance either team comes out and scores in the first minute or two. So I put a small bet on that total. But I'll be waiting for it live. Maybe it drops down to like a 5 if there's no goals in the first 5 or 6 minutes. This is a toss-up game for me. Typically in these elimination games, I usually lean dog. But Toronto, just given all the question marks right now, I can't take a shot with them pregame until I see a few minutes of the play. If Toronto comes out hard and looks like a different team than they have the last couple of games, I might throw a little on Toronto money line just because, you know, I think they can definitely win this game and extend the series over to 6. But yeah, typically I like the dog in these situations because I do think they'll have that desperation, seasons on the line. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if Matthews is going to be in the lineup. I just don't know what to expect. So this will probably be more of a live game for me. But yeah, I may sprinkle on the game, the over 5.5 pregame, and then just wait for something live to double down on that if we do get some goals in action early.
You hit it. That's exactly what I'm doing. Just a small little bit at pregame, over 5.5, and then most of the stuff will be live with the totals, especially third period, targeting that here in the Leafs Bruins game. As far as props go tonight, I'm gonna go if there's four actually. I'd be looking at Marner. I've given up on kind of a little bit, but Nylander, Tavares, Bertuzzi, Domi. You know, those are four guys that are going to have to make it happen tonight if you're the Leafs. So for props, I'm, you know, really cornering those four. For Boston, Jake DeBrusk, sign me up. Brad Marchand in a closeout game, chance to eliminate an opponent. And by the way, Brad Marchand, the captain of a team that pissed themselves last year when they were up 3-1 against Florida. You think he's going to try to say, you know what, it's not happening again, boys. Not this year, not this time. We're going to put our foot down, and we're going to close it out. So watch Brett. And Brad Marchand just owns the Leafs right now. So why not take him to score a goal, get an assist, maybe even over 1.5 points if you wish for Marchand. Morgan Geeky, by the way, looks like he's up now with Coyle and Marchand based on the current line combinations in morning skate today for Boston. So there's some value right there. Morgan Geeky, and I like Morgan Geeky's game in this series. He's been noticeable. He's been in on the forecheck. He's chipped in at least a little bit offensively earlier in this series. So like I said, Morgan Geeky, I think, has some value here with his player props tonight. Looks like Andrew Peak still out, and Jim Montgomery still going with the same defense core. Mason Lowrider, he's a low rider. Mason Lowrider, Charlie McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, Brandon Carlo, Matt Grizzlick, Parker Weatherspoon. The same six, it looks like, on defense tonight for the Bruins. Should be interesting. See what this Leaf team, which has had playoff futility year after year, is made of. All right, Islanders and Hurricanes. We've got Carolina minus 260, home favorites, 5.5 the total. Another series where the home team leads 3-1. If you were to ask me right now, Ian, which team do you feel most confident in finishing off the series tonight? This would be that team, the Carolina Hurricanes. I think tonight that's the end of the road for the Islanders. They got their win at home to avoid the sweep. In game four, I think now it's time to put the foot down here and end it if you're Carolina, just like they did last year against this Islanders team. I expect a good effort from them. I like Carolina pregame puck line here in this one. That's the only thing I've locked in. And again, a small over 5.5, those two. But again, I like the puck line more I have more money on that. -1.5, +110, +115 is what you can get for a Carolina puck line here in this game. And again, the thought process is this is the kind of spot where I'm more interested and more inclined to take a puck line because we've got the empty net scenarios in play where if the Islanders are down in the third, you know, especially Patrick Waugh, the chance he pulls the goalie down with 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes left in the third period. So, like I said, if you're going to back Carolina here, puck line is the way to go with the -1.5, +110, not regulation. Go for that puck line. Go for the fact that Carolina's got a chance to build margin, win by 2, win by 3, win by 4, if they have the lead late in the third and the net is empty for a long period of time. So that's the pregame look, small over 5.5 as well. That's really about it. I mean, when I see Carolina, I think they've got a much better game in them than what we saw. I think game 4 was probably one of their worst games of the series so far. Like second period and third period, like the Islanders were full marks. They played a really good game. I think Carolina, I don't want to say feeling themselves a little bit, but I think back home here with that PNC Arena crowd down in Raleigh, they are able to finish off this series. And I really like props for the goalie over his saves prop tonight for Semyon Varlamov. I think he's going to get peppered here tonight. He's going to have one of those like 35, 40 save type of nights. Carolina is a pretty decent volume shooting team, especially on home ice. They're more inclined to shoot the puck quite a bit. I expect more of that. Actually, Rod Brind'Amour was saying we got to get even more pucks on goal compared to what we saw from them in game 4. So the Varlamov over saves prop, I think, is definitely worth a look here in this game 5 tonight down in Kakalaki. Alex, game 5, Isles, Canes.
Yeah, I'm loving with the playoffs. We've seen a lot of creativity from different books offering different prop options. And one thing that I took advantage of over at BetMGM, they have, you can bet, will there be an empty net goal in the game, which is just one market? Yes, that's -130. But you can also bet which team to score an empty net goal. So I took a shot with Hurricanes +130 to get an empty net goal. If they're leading and they, you know, put the screws to the Isles, they want to get that final goal. And more than likely, we know, especially with Wob coaching this team, it's going to be an empty net goal. It'll probably be the last goal of the game here. So I think that's great value at +130. It's essentially your way of betting the Hurricane side without laying nearly the amount of juice or getting even a little bit better of a return than the puck line right now, because I'm seeing +110s, +115s for laying the 1.5. So I took a shot with that. And also in the third period, over 2, -105, which is also available at MGM, I'm seeing $1.70, $1.75 for the over 1.5. That's a little steep even for a good number. But in saying that, that means if this is a slower game, we should definitely see that number drop to where we can take a shot with maybe even full game over live or third period over live and get a much better price. So at the 1.5 number. So I'll have 2 in pocket pregame looking for a live over 1.5, especially if this ends up being a slower first 40 minutes of play in this contest. And then there's also a player prop I'll be talking about a little bit later on.
There we go. Bargain bin. We've identified the game, at least, for the bargain bin special for Alex coming up later in the show. Matt, what do you like here? Islanders, Canes.
Yeah, so I agree with you on Carolina here. I think they try and close this out. There's no reason to go beyond this game, especially given that the Rangers have already locked it up and are kind of on rest. They'll want to, you know, at least match close to the amount of rest that New York's getting. And I just think they're the better team and have been most of the series. So I'm going to be on Carolina here. I like the puck line there at +107 because I do agree if they've got the lead, that should hit because the Islanders have to be, you know, they have to pull their goalie with a sufficient amount of time. I also kind of lean towards Carolina team total over 3.5. And then
that's again, a good look too. I think that's they're going to go with the puck line.
I think they're not going to want to mess around with this game. Like, yes, that empty net is very possible, you know, but that can even happen at a 3-1 game. You know, Wob will pull the goalie a little early. They hit the empty net, puck line hits and team total hits. But I think they'll want to, you know, run away with this game if they can. I think the Islanders will have that desperation. You know, this is a spot where I mentioned it with Toronto. I don't know. I think the Islanders will come out and, you know, play a hard game. I just think Carolina is too good of a team. And I'm also, you know, we did it a lot last week, but I'm going to look at Carolina's first period goals. It looks like, you know, for them to score is obviously minus 185, but for them to get one is plus 135, and then one and a half is plus 250. So I might sprinkle on both of those and hope that they can get two goals in that first period, kind of set the tone. You know, even if the Islanders give up a goal, or I mean, sorry, score a goal, you know, Carolina has a chance to get those two goals. So I think that'd be a good start for them. I think they're going to want to come out with that, hey, you know, let's close this out at home. Let's, you know, get the rest that we get. There's no reason to go back into New York for game six. So yeah, I'm on Carolina, obviously, but in a couple different ways. So, but yeah, looking forward to this game. Hopefully Carolina will close it out.
All right. Yes, definitely. I think they will close it out. Again, never say never. Maybe we're going to get a little bit of a surprise here on the Islanders win in game five. Now, I don't know, though. Just to me, I think Carolina, better team. And I think after seeing the Rangers wrap it up with Washington, and this is the team they're going to play in the second round, you know, there's onus on Carolina. Let's get our rest, too, you know, prior to the second round. So that's definitely important. I will throw together some kind of same game parlay here in this game as well, for especially Hurricanes. You know, just put Aho, Gensel, Jarvis, Teravainen. I think he should be in a point parlay because he's been pretty good in this series. Definitely some kind of combination with those players here tonight. And I think we have to bet it simply because Matt's with us and Carolina's playing tonight. Stefan Nason in some form. Don't we have to? I mean, it is actually beyond crazy at this point how often this guy makes an impact and scores when Matt's on the show and Carolina's playing that same day. So, and look, he is still on the power play. I think they bumped him down, though, to the second power play unit, but he does still get power play time for the Carolina Hurricanes. For the Islanders, look, Nelson, Horvat, Palmieri, I would continue to look in those directions. I'm almost giving up on Cizikas because he's been on that top line in this series and he's had chances and the puck just hasn't gone in yet. But I'm going to take a shot one more time, Casey Cizikas, because the price is still off the charts, you know, for him to score, given his position on that top line with Horvat and Barzal. And again, you're talking about someone that's, what, plus 650, and he's on the top line. So, yeah, maybe it's throwing money away again because he hasn't produced yet on that top line. But like I say, when you're in that spot and you're getting that price, I almost feel compelled to bet it. And again, perfect live betting situation during the BetCast tonight. We're definitely will be circling around a lot of third period looks, whether it's overs. Hell, with the Matt mentioned the Carolina team total over. If you don't love that pregame, and let's say it's 2-1 Carolina in the third period, bet a live third period team total on Carolina because you know there's going to be the potential for them to score empty net goals, you know, if they're leading in the third period. So even live team total bets, you know, are good ways to consider things in games like this, elimination games, especially for the team that's looking to finish the series when they're leading in the third. All right, next we turn our attention to the West. Game five, do or die for the Winnipeg Jets. What a turn this series has taken in the last three games, especially the two games in Denver, which were disastrous for the Winnipeg Jets. Colorado minus 120, road favorites here in game five. 6.5 the total. Colorado looking to finish off this series. Don't want to say I've lost complete faith in the Jets, but damn close. And the fact that I saw this team after a game one victory last year against Vegas lose four straight doesn't make me feel overly enthusiastic about throwing money on them tonight. That being said, this is a great home environment that maybe does give them a lift here tonight in this game and certainly has them, I think, coming out strong. Like, I do think we're going to see a strong start from the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And to be honest, Alex and Matt, they had a good start in game four, I thought, at the beginning. So I thought they took it to Colorado. They were all over Colorado early. I know Lehkonen got the first goal, made it 1-0, but they had a pretty solid first period. They outchanced Winnipeg. They eventually tied it. It was Nate Schmidt, his point shot, which tied the game in the first period, 1-1. And they were in decent shape, it looked like, Winnipeg, you know, after the first period. And they did bring that urgency in the early part of game four. And then, of course, the roof caved in on them and things fell apart all over again in the second and third period for the Winnipeg Jets in that game. I think in the third period, Winnipeg, or in the first period, I should say tonight, in the first period, I think Winnipeg will bring it strong. You know, I'm probably going to dabble on a little Winnipeg first period plus 100, just something small, because I do think in the early going, with the home fans behind them, you know, I do think we're going to see a good start with them. But what I like even more, and you kind of know where I'm going with that, if I like Winnipeg early, what I trust even more than the money line, because you're always worried with Colorado and the struggles of Hellebuyck, that this could be a spot where he's going to be vulnerable again to giving up a goal early. You have to lay a price. If it's too big of a price, maybe you could go with that over one team total in the first period. But definitely Winnipeg to score a goal in the first period. It's a bet I cashed with on Sunday in game four. They got on the board. I think it's definitely something you could look at here tonight as well, with the Jets facing elimination here in this game at home. And keep in mind, they are the only team tonight of the teams down 3-1 that's at home, playing on home ice. You know, Islanders are on the road. Toronto's on the road. Nashville's on the road. You know, the other three teams that are trying to stay alive. So I think call a Winnipeg early in the game. Again, what I'm going to do is probably split this up. It's now, it's pretty juiced. It's more than I thought. I mean, in the past, I've been able to lay minus 140, minus 155 with the Jets and other teams to score a goal in the first period. This one's minus 185. So that's pretty pricey with Winnipeg to score a goal in the first period. So I feel like I'm just going to go instead on that over one, where, look, if they only score one, it's a push. We'll take it. We won't lose money. But I'd rather have the plus 140 on over one for the Winnipeg Jets team total in the first period than the over half a goal for them to score at minus 185. It's just too pricey, you know, at that point. So I'm going to dabble on a little Jets first period money line and Jets team total over one in the first period. I do like those looks, but I don't trust them for the full game. This could be another deal where Winnipeg has that good first period. They get in penalty trouble again, which they can't seem to stop taking penalties in this series. And that's the surefire way to let Colorado right back into this game tonight and potentially finish this series. And this is a bit of a referendum tonight, too, on Connor Hellebuyck. It's time, man, to step your game up. He is starting. There was never a thought in Rick Bonus' mind to give Laurent Brossoit this start. He only put Brossoit in there in the third period to give Hellebuyck a rest, recuperate a little more for this pivotal must-win elimination game five. But it's time for him to look like Vezina Hellebuyck, which he has not, you know, so far in this series. So we'll see if he can. But yeah, for me, I'm going to take a look small on Winnipeg first period money line slash over one team total first period. And I'm back on the over bifecta again as well here, over 1.5, over 6.5, with a little bit of a smaller pregame bet on over 6.5, knowing that with this being an elimination game, we could really hammer some live overs in the third period here when it comes to the Avs and the Jets. Alex, game five, Colorado, Winnipeg.
Yeah, we kind of have the same thought process on this one. It's just hard to trust Winnipeg for a full 60 minutes of action, but they have to have momentum on their side early. So one of the things I did bet, and it's available at BetMGM, team to score first goal in first period. It's Jets plus 120. If you're just betting first goal of the game overall, you're laying $1.15, laying $1.20 with the Jets. I'm taking the plus money. I think they need to score, and they need to score it within the first 20 minutes.
And to me, if they don't score in the first period, they might be in some trouble. So it makes sense. Yeah,
even if it's scoreless after 20 and we get good defense both ways, I still think the edge would be with Colorado at that point, because I just kind of trust what Colorado's doing a bit more. I think, you know, Bednar, it maybe has a little bit of a coaching edge on Bonus right now, in my opinion. And obviously just the skill overall for Colorado, when that offense gets cranking, it's the best in the league. It's simple as that. Hellebuyck has to step up and have an A-plus performance tonight, something he hasn't been able to do all series long. So it's shaky ground for them. But Winnipeg's got to fire off a ton of shots. They have to try to match that same impact and intensity that Colorado is going to bring offensively, and you have to do it early. So I like that spot. And I also like, it's amazing that this hasn't been adjusted for price or number. Total power play goals over 1.5 plus 130 available at FanDuel. Yes. That's just been absolute.
You just got to hope the Jets power play gets going now.
Thankfully, all you need is just two from any side there. So it's been a license to print money in this series with the way the Jets have been taking penalties. If the carousel to the penalty box is going again, the series is over, and Colorado is going to continue to make them pay with the man advantage. So I'll be taking a shot with that, as well as Jets to score first goal in the first period, plus 120.
All right, I like it. I like that for Jets to score first goal in the first period, plus 120. Because guess what? If they don't score in the first period, and the reason why I brought that up, they're in trouble, because you know what's going to happen? The crowd's going to get restless. Anxiety's going to set in. It's going to get quiet, and it's going to filter down onto the ice to the players. You know, like, uh-oh. We didn't have that big, big, big burst out of the gate in the first period tonight with our season on the line. And the crowd's going to get tense, and the players are going to get tense. So that's why that first period, Jets to score the first goal, is even better than just Jets to score the first goal. Because to me, I think in the second period, if they have not scored by the time the second period starts, the team's going to get tense, building is going to get tense, and it's going to make things better, I think, for Colorado in the latter 40 minutes. What do you think here in this one, Matt? Colorado, Winnipeg.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because I lean Winnipeg here. I think they give some pushback, but to your point, they rolled over and died last year in the first round against Vegas. They haven't really shown
now,
a ton of life.
That was on the road, that final game. That game where they lost in game five, it was on the road. It wasn't at home. If they have laid down like little bitches tonight in game five on home ice with that whiteout crowd, I'll be disgusted. You thought Rick Bonus was disgusted last year? What's he going to say this year? He's going to have to repeat that damn press conference again, times 10. Because if they look like that tonight on home ice with their season on the line, not on the road like last year, home ice facing elimination, then that's pathetic. That's a disgrace.
If they play lifeless on home ice the way they did last year, Rick Bonus won't have to say shit. All he has to do is start packing the shit that's in his office because he'll be gone. Yeah.
I think you might be right.
No doubt. But to be honest, it's hard to say that Colorado is going to lay an egg in the playoffs. I don't think that's the case, but I think they do, you know, they know that the other series is at least going till Friday night. They'd have the chance to win it at home on Thursday night. You know, it's again, I don't think they're going to roll over and die or lay an egg per se. I don't think this will be an easy win if Winnipeg does get out of this game. But I could see there being a little less motivation for Colorado. They won't have that desperation, knowing that the other series is going until Friday. You know, they're not. It's not like the Carolina situation where they know New York's, you know, sitting on their couch watching the game, knowing that they're already locked into the second round. So, I don't know. I lean Winnipeg here. It's another one that I kind of want to see the first couple of minutes to really get a good feel for it. But I do. Pre-game, I am going to be on Winnipeg over one goal in the first period just to get that plus price. If it does push, you know, no harm, no foul. But I would expect them to come out hot. And if they do score early, you know, then maybe Gorgiev's confidence goes down a little bit. And, you know, because he's been good after a lot of speculation that he was going to be terrible. And he wasn't great early in the series, but he's gotten better as it goes on. So I think a Winnipeg goal early could, you know, affect that confidence a little bit. And then just because of how this series is going and the fact that it's plus money, I will be on both teams to score pregame in that first period. I think it's like plus 135. I think that's worth a shot because I don't think, you know, it'd be shocking for Colorado to score in the first period as well, especially if they get a power play or something like that. But so as far as full game, again, this is more of a bet, hopeful that I'm right, that Winnipeg comes out hot. I'm actually going to take a shot on Winnipeg alternate puck line -1.5. I think if they do win this game, they've got to win it handily. I think if this game gets to overtime, Colorado takes it and ends the series. So I saw, I'm trying to think of what it was at. Full game. I can't see it. Spread. It's +225 Winnipeg -1.5. So again, I think it's good value. If you think Winnipeg wins this game, I don't think it'll be an overtime. This is definitely not a draw game for me. I think Colorado either wins 6-1 or Winnipeg, you know, comes out, plays like they're capable of, and it hasn't shown a lot. And maybe wins a game, you know, 4-2, 5-2 with an empty net, something like that. So, I'm going to take a shot on that, you know, just as more of a for fun bet. But it's really going to depend. I won't be on that heavy because I want to see how Winnipeg comes out to start the game.
All right. Yeah, definitely. This is definitely a good live betting game. Observations. Let's see what Winnipeg looks like. I do feel like in the first period you will see them come out strong. But again, it's about sustaining it for 60 minutes. That I don't have faith in. Game four, they started strong and they lost, you know, because second period penalties creeped in. Couldn't get a timely stop from Hellebuck. They were bad in terms of the penalty kill's been bad. The penalty kill for the Jets has been destroyed by the Avs power play, destroyed in this series. And that's why it's imperative that they stay out of the penalty box. As far as props tonight, you know, for Winnipeg, I mean, where do you turn to? Who do you have? Like Kyle Connor's cooled off the last few. Velarde's had a disappointing. Monahan does nothing for me. I don't want any part of that and him right now. There's one guy that I trust tonight. It's the captain, Adam Lowry. I think if you want your number one bargain bin value goal prop for the Jets tonight, it's Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry's been dialed in mentally, physically, emotionally, right from day one in this game, one in this series. I expect him to be that way again here tonight. We already saw him score a couple of goals, didn't we, in Winnipeg in the first two games of this series. So Adam Lowry is on my radar for sure when it comes to goal prop on the Winnipeg side. Probably I like his goal prop more than anybody else because I trust him more than anybody else to have that strong, hard-ass effort, you know, in a must-win spot like this. And then for Colorado, my three favorites remain Big Val Nichushkin, Zach Parise, and Arturi Lehkonen. Those are the three guys that I think have the value. Yeah, MacKinnon, of course, can light it up. Rantanen, of course, can light it up. But I think for Colorado, if you're looking at betting value in the props, it's Big Val, it's Zach Parise, who's had a very quietly a very good series here for the Colorado Avalanche, and it's Arturi Lehkonen, who's been really good. And Arturi Lehkonen, by the way, has been a guy that from a shots on goal perspective, again, I haven't been getting involved with them a ton, but he's been going over his shot numbers quite a bit. Goal prop, assist prop, point props, even an over 1.5 points. Like Arturi Lehkonen has had a hell of a series for the Colorado Avalanche. And that is more and more looking like a really good get from Montreal when they got him in a trade a couple of years ago. So Arturi Lehkonen, you know, playoff performer. No question. Yeah, Cale Makar, 2 points. Why not? And plus, if Colorado's leading in the third, there's going to be chances for empty net goals, and you could see the points pile up, you know, for some of these Colorado players. No question about that as far as the player props later on in the game. All right, final game of this huge Tuesday night of action, and we'll be on the Patreon live betcast tonight, exclusive live betcast during all of it. We've got Nashville-Vancouver. Vancouver up 3-1 in the series. Canucks minus 125 home favorites. 5.5 the total here in game 5 tonight. Wow, this is going to be the ultimate test of mental fortitude for the Nashville Predators because, man, that is a painful, brutal defeat in game 4. And by the way, with these empty net situations, and I know we're going to probably be on a few of these third period overs looking for some empty net goals, especially from the teams that are trailing. Or the teams that are leading, I should say, in the series and trying to put it away. We better not see a ton of fucking Colton Sissons types running around on the ice tonight with these empty net situations. Put the puck in the freaking net when you have that chance. Like Florida last night. Look at how beautiful that was. Yeah. Look at Roope Hintz. He's a whirling dervish, spun around, bam, right in the middle of the net, dead center to put that game away for Dallas last night. Let's be hard on the puck. Let's look at our target, and let's put an accurate shot toward net. Can we do that tonight? Can we do that tonight collectively as an NHL group? Can we do that tonight and not be another little Colton Sissons with a little flippy little backhander, soft as butter, and hit the post like that? So let's see that tonight here with some of these games as far as let's get the – when you get the empty net shot, make good on it tonight in these games. As far as this one goes, I like Vancouver team total over a little bit. I think there's an onus to close it out tonight on Nashville. Saros has been good at times in this series, but again, and it's not all on him. They were scrambling. There's an extra attacker in the two goals that Brock Besser scored to tie the game in game 4. I get all that. But again, couldn't make a save, Saros. And, you know, that's what there's those timely stops. And, you know, it's been, look, he got outplayed by a guy making his first career playoff start. A little bit in game 3. Archer's she loves, don't she loves happy. Archer's she loves. He was very good, very composed, in my opinion. And how about Vancouver? I think I read it's the first time in NHL history team has won three games in a playoff series with three different starting goaltenders. Thatcher Demko game one, Casey DeSmith game two, and of course, Archer's Shelovs in game three for this, or game four rather, for this Vancouver team. So, it was game one with Demko, game three with DeSmith because they lost game two, and then game four with Shelovs. So impressive stuff, and it speaks to the team effort from Vancouver. And you know what we're seeing, Alex, in this series? I'm glad I remember to bring this up. You're seeing what the likes of having an Ian Cole and a Carson Soucy on the blue line mean to this team. Like a little more defensive tenacity with guys like that. Ian Cole, playoff veteran. Carson Soucy was – how much does Seattle miss Carson Soucy? He was there last year when they got to the second round, one win away from the conference finals. Carson Soucy's a hell of a defenseman as far as defensively. He's not going to put up a ton of points, but he's going to be solid in his own end, and that's been a nice addition for the Vancouver Canucks going into this one. But like I said, this is to me, though, I'm not totally convinced Nashville is totally down and out. Let's see how they start. Maybe there is some energy, and they can park that game for as brutal and as painful and as heartbreaking as it was, that they can park it and put forth a great, strong effort trying to save their season, but I'm going to have to see it before I believe it. The only things I have pregame is a small Canuck team total over 3.5 and a little over 5.5 full game. And just like all the other games we talked about tonight, small with those, and let's look for some live spots on the BetCast tonight, especially if Vancouver's leading in the third. It's going to open the door for live puck lines, live team totals, live third period overs. That's the approach on a night like tonight. And it is once again here in yet another elimination game. Alex, what do you think here? Game five, Nashville, Vancouver.
Yeah, this is one I'm just going to wait completely live for. I have nothing pregame on it. I'm hoping Vancouver can take care of business. This is a critical spot for them. Give them some time. Give them some rest as well, especially, you know, I mean, obviously, Shelovs wins this game. Like I said, you have to keep riding him, but at least to be able to have where you know DeSmith is going to be healthy, and you have both of your goaltenders that you can rely on for the next round, the next series, that's going to be vital, especially if it ends up being Edmonton, which, of course, we'll talk about that game tomorrow. So I'm just completely waiting for the BetCast to make some bets and pick some spots here. Just kind of obviously rooting for Vancouver, but we'll see how things shake out in this one.
All right, yeah, nothing wrong with that. Like I say, the only things I've got pregame is the small looks toward Vancouver. Team total over 3.5, and the full game over. Let me see, actually, you know what? But again, I want to see how they – I might even bet this live, but I want to see how they start. I want to see Nashville, like, connected mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of that. Because if they are and we're going to get a little better price on this on the BetCast tonight, I might jump on a Nashville live first period to score. Nashville to score a goal in the first period. It's minus 140 at BetMGM right now pregame. It's a decent price, but let's see how they come out. See how they start the game. Are they carrying the play? They have the puck in the offensive zone. Are they working Vancouver's defense? And are they looking like a team that's got on the front foot early, looking to get that first goal, that early lead? If so, I might jump on a Nashville to score in the first period and get a better price than minus 140, which is what it is right now pregame over at BetMGM. Matt, what do you think here? Nashville, Vancouver, game five.
Yeah, so I agree with Alex in the sense that this is kind of – it's not a must-win. They're up 3-1 in the series. But for Vancouver, you know, on the off chance Edmonton closes it out tomorrow night, they want all the rest they can get. They've had three goalies in this series. I'm sure there's other guys with bumps and bruises that could use a little time off. And, you know, I think given how that game four ended the way it did, I feel like they have to feel pretty lucky that they're up 3-1 heading home, because it really, based on the series, I'm kind of surprised that that's the case. So they know they've been given a little bit of a gift, and so they want to close it out at home in front of their own fans. At the same time, I think Nashville won't roll over and die after that collapse. They've got some added motivation. And so for those two reasons, I am going to be on the first period over pregame. It's like minus 115. I will be looking for that live as well, so I'm going to split it up. But I am going to take some, given that it's almost even money. Just thinking that, you know, Vancouver wants to close it out. Nashville's got a little desperation after game four. But at the same time, you know, -125 is not a bad price. And I do think Vancouver closes it out at home. So I'm going to put a little bit on that as well pregame, just thinking that Vancouver does get it done.
All right, there we go. Matt's approach, very interesting. And that's, you got to get creative in these spots, especially the elimination games. And know that, especially in these games, you've got the live betting opportunity and availability there for you. And we're going to put that on full display tonight on the BetCast. It's a great, great night to have a BetCast, seriously. Because I think the elimination games during the Stanley Cup playoffs offer some of the best live betting opportunities all year in hockey. And that is why we can't wait for this BetCast tonight. As far as the props for this game are concerned for Nashville, you know, and I would look at it here too with them, Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. It's hard really to get away from them as far as any props. Zucker as well. Zucker had some chances last game for Vancouver. Suter's got value because he's with Miller and Besser. Of course, Besser was the Brock star of game four, the hat trick in that incredible comeback win for the Canucks. I still say Hoglander, as long as he's up on the second line, has got some value. Don't forget that the best games he's played in the series were the first two in Vancouver, and I'm talking about Dakota Joshua. He was very noticeable. He had that huge game one effort with the 3 points, so maybe Dakota Joshua might be worth a look as far as props tonight. So those are some of the props I'm looking at. And by the way, blocked shots, easy one with Tanev last night. Tyler Myers blocked shot. McDonough blocked shot in this game. Neil Pionk in the Winnipeg game, you know, over blocked shots. Could see that. Makar's been blocking shots more often than not. Jacob Slavin in the Carolina game, as far as blocked shots are concerned. Jake McCabe for Toronto over blocked shots. Brandon Carlo for Boston over blocked shots. I'm just throwing them out there right off the top of my head. Players that I have noticed have really been blocking a shit ton of shots so far in the series. So those are all players that are good blocked shot prop candidates, in my opinion. Man, if you say that fast, you could get tongue-tied. Holy mackerel. Good stuff. We can't wait for the BetCast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. There it is, Tuesday, April 30th tonight. 7 p.m. Eastern is the BetCast. 7 p.m. Eastern, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys to watch and take part in tonight's exclusive Ice Guys Live BetCast, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We may even have a surprise guest or two lined up for tonight on the BetCast. Won't say who, but there's a potential. You'll only find out if they end up making it onto the BetCast if you join us. 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, sign up and subscribe for just $10 per month. Patreon.com/iceguys to watch and to take part in tonight's live BetCast. Can't wait for it. And again, when you sign up and subscribe at patreon.com/iceguys for just $10 per month, you also get access to our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content, off-season bonus content, including the Player Suite interview series, and of course, all the exclusive live BetCasts on Patreon for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So again, sign up, $10 per month. Your subscription goes a long way to keeping the show going long-term. $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys, and check out the Ice Guys store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, we got some new things that are going to be coming in the store pretty soon. I'm working on a couple of new designs and different things, so definitely check that out. But check out all the old stuff we've got as well. Everything's in stock right now over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsor. All right, Boston and Pink, make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. And we begin, as we always do in this segment, with Alex. And I don't know how he can follow up tonight's bargain bin with an encore as good as last night with Alexander Barkov, over 1.5 goals, plus 1,600, 16-1. But he'll damn sure try. Alex, what do you like in the bargain bin?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not in the double digits tonight, but it's still a good price, and I think it's a good spot. Veterans step up in these big games when it's time to clinch, and you're looking at the Carolina Hurricanes as a team that, you know, has plenty of guys who get the job done, but I like a bit veteran that's on the blue line there. I like Brent Burns to score a goal anytime. You can get that at several different books, including MGM and FanDuel at plus 650. So that is my spot. I think Canes take care of business, and I think Brent Burns gets a goal. Plus 650. That's my bargain bin special for Tuesday night.
All right. Brent Burns, Carolina, plus 650. The Bushman, as I like to call him, plus 650 for a bargain bin special for Alex B. Smith. Matt, what do you like in the bargain bin tonight?
Yeah, so there's a few props. So I may end up actually tweeting out a couple other bargain bin worthy props before puck drop tonight. But how do I go against it being on the show? Stephen Nason, anytime goal, plus 500 on BetMGM. Got to keep riding it. So
it's true. I mean, he does score, it seems, when Matt's on the show. Stephen Nason, Carolina, plus 500 for his bargain bin special of the night. My bargain bin special here for tonight in the NHL. There's a good couple of good choices. I almost made Tyler Bertuzzi over 1.5 points my bargain bin at plus 475. I think in a must-win spot like this in Boston, it could be a night for him to step up, especially if Matthews is a no-go, which we're going to have to wait and see prior to puck drop. But that did interest me. But for my bargain bin special here for this card tonight, I've decided to go a little bit different here as far as the bargain bin. And I am going to go with, and I'm going to take, this is definitely taking a small shot here, but the man has been drinking from the fountain of youth in this series. He's been very good. He's been very effective. He scored. He's been in on the offense for the Avs. And I'm going to take a shot that the old man can turn back the clock one more time tonight at a hell of a price. Zach Parise, Colorado Avalanche, plus 750 over 1.5 points. That's right. 2-point night from Zach Parise for the Colorado Avalanche at plus 750. I'm going to go with that for my bargain bin special of the night for this Tuesday NHL playoff slate. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, you know, I got to go with, and this is, it's, I want to go with something that's more widely available because I do love that Carolina look to get the empty net goal plus 130, but that's just at BetMGM. So I'm going to go with a widely available play that I did already have in pocket, and that's Toronto-Boston, first period over 1.5. Minus $1.10. I did hear a quote from Jim Montgomery saying that he wants to get off to a fast start. He wants to use that energy and electricity from that TD Garden Arena to kind of get things rolling in their direction. And against Joseph Woll in a tough spot, maybe he's a little shaky. Maybe he gives up one goal. Maybe he gives up two goals. We're hoping for at least two or more in the first period there with the Bees and the Leafs. Minus $1.10. That's my best bet.
All right, there you go. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. And Nick, you know what? You're right. We need a Leafs win, Alex and I, for 6 or 7 game series to come through, which is why my approach is going to be maybe at some point, let's say the Leafs actually get the lead at some point, I may lock in a little Boston money line, which is kind of like a little hedge for the 6-7 game, bets that we have pending. So that's definitely an approach I might look at. Matt, what do you like here? Best bet?
Yeah, so I'm going to do something a little interesting for my best bet. Never done a parlay before. But it's available on BetMGM. I'm sure a lot of books have it. If you go down in Colorado, Winnipeg to over 5.5 and Toronto, Boston over 4.5, it's minus 110, almost a pick 'em. So, that's going to be my best bet. Colorado, Winnipeg over 5.5 and Toronto, Boston over 4.5. Let's get it. Let's get some goals.
There we go. Over, and I've done this before too. We trim the totals down with two games and put them in a parlay. So there you go. That is Matt Robinson there with his best bet for this Tuesday card. My best bet, I'm doing a lot of my betting live tonight during the BetCast. There's only a small handful of pregame opinions plus props that I like. So I guess the strongest of the bunch, because I actually think this is the team up 3-1 that's got the best chance to close out the series tonight. I'll take Carolina puck line, -1.5, +110 against the New York Islanders. I'll go with that for my best bet. I also like the team total for Carolina. I think over 3.5 is worth a look there in that game as well. I think both of those worth a look. I'm going to look at some live team totals for some of the other teams that might be looking to close out a series tonight. But for me, we'll go with that for best bet. Canes puck line, -1.5, +110 for my best bet here for this Tuesday NHL card. If you ask me which team I think's got the best chance to avoid being eliminated tonight of the teams down 3-1, I'm going to shock everyone that, and it's looking more and more like Matthews may be out, but it would totally not shock me if the Leafs won, crazy as it is to say. Everyone's counting them out. Everyone's counting them out. Boston's going to take the ice. Oh, Matthews is out now. How easy is this going to be? And you know how that can work sometimes. But I don't have the guts to take Toronto, and I'm not. I'm just saying if I had to pick one team, I think I've got a little more belief in maybe extending the series tonight. It could be Toronto, but I ain't betting it. The one I think does close it out for sure tonight is Carolina. So we'll see how it goes. All right, BetCast tonight. We can't wait. 7 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you join us again for that. We're looking forward to it. Again, sign up and subscribe, $10 per month. Patreon.com/IceGuys to join us for the live BetCast tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Alex B. Smith and Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. We'll see you in a few hours for the Patreon-exclusive Ice Guys Live Stanley Cup Playoffs BetCast, and we will see you again, of course, tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys.